Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning and worship together. Last evening we were at the UGM mission, and just looking out over the men there, there was a lot of sadness and a lot of, I'm sure if we could have heard from the stories of their lives, there was a lot of just a lot of hard things. And so I was thinking sort of along that line, and then the songs that Evan led this morning really fit as well. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we just bow before you this morning. We want to give you everything we have, Lord. We admit our weakness before you. Father, we ask for your grace and your strength today for in this service. Just open our hearts. Bless us, Lord, with your presence here. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. So his two of them especially, the song Victory in Jesus, talks about how that we look at what God has done in our lives, and that gives us joy. Oh, victory in Jesus, he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. And if we look at that, sometimes I forget to look at that, how important that is in our lives. It gives us joy. I wanted to read from John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verses 19 to 24. And I was thinking down this line because for some time I've realized a lack of joy in my own life. And I've asked the Lord why that is, and I think letting the darkness weigh down on us can remove the joy that should be there. And if we believe the lies of the devil, he will remove our joy as well. Let's read here verses 19 to 24. And Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves that I said, A little while, and you shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, excuse me, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you ask, you shall ask of your Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. So there were two things there, that your joy no man can take away from you, and then in verse 24, that your joy may be full. So when the Holy Spirit has come, and we have this promise then, that we can ask anything and we can have joy. The Apostle Paul says one of the paradoxes of the Christian is in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. And he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And what is the joy? What's the value of joy? I was just looking at that. You know, the world has this false joy that we see often with a smile, a plastered smile, whatever. The value of joy is that it's the only proof that what we have really satisfies the heart. That is God's joy. It really satisfies the heart. The joy that the world has can be, and often is reliant on their, 401k or whatever else that is only material and for a short time. It's not a lasting joy in spite of trouble. I was thinking about how do we have joy restored in our lives? I happen to really enjoy a good restoration project. If it's an old house or an old car that's been parked for 50 years or whatever, for someone to take that and make it just all new again, it's just amazing to me to see. And you know, for that to be restored to its original intent is just amazing. And that is, you know, that's just, it makes a great story. It makes a great story to see something like that. How does God restore joy in my life? And I was thinking, you know, the psalmist, the shepherd psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, and he says that he restoreth my soul. And then there's also the verse you're probably thinking about now in Nehemiah, that says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You know, that's what we learn from Scripture, that in our weakness are we made strong. Excuse me. Can we be full of joy and completely weak on our own strength at the same time, is what I was thinking about. We do need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. In Ephesians 6, we had the, I think, a sermon a couple Sundays ago about the having the armor of God, and that's what we need. And in our own strength, we are weak, but we can be strong in the Lord. And we need to acknowledge our weakness. You know, that's how God gives us grace, is by acknowledging our weakness. Then Jesus said in Matthew 28, before he left the disciples, he said that he received all power in heaven and in earth because of what he had gone through. And that and then he said to the disciples that ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. This power, so it's the omnipotent Savior that is giving us that strength. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And Luke chapter 10:20, the disciples came back to Jesus and said they were rejoicing because the spirits were even subject to them. And he said, rejoice not that they are subject to you, but you should rejoice, be full of joy, that your names are written in heaven. One of the things that I have recently, I guess, learned and am learning is that when you read the Scripture, what, you know, we're looking for God to speak to us. What do you read it with a, you know, just a factual, going to learn this and this and this? Or are we going to read, you know, is God is speaking to us when we read Scripture? And I guess one of the things that I was made aware of is that when we read, we should ask ourselves, is, you know, what is God, what has God done for us in this verse? What does God say He's going to do for us? And you know, the Scripture is full of ways that God is going to work mightily on our behalf and restore our lives. And if that doesn't bring overwhelming joy, then I don't know of anything that can do that in our lives. Joy comes from a faith and trust in agreeing with God. You know, agreeing as we read His Word, that His Word is true for us. And it's at the same time fighting the lie of the devil that he wants to push out there and wants us to believe. And that will rob us of our joy if we do believe those lies. It is essential to have joy in the Christian life. For if we fully abide in Christ, we will have joy. If we depend on joy to come from our own performance, our rising bank account, our own reflection in the mirror, we will not find lasting joy. And it's no different than what the world gets, where it gets its false joy. There's no greater proof of the reality of God's love understood and received in the heart of the Christian than overflowing joy. And that's what I desire and hope that God can help us all with that, each one of us. Thank you.